What is it important that we live for? It involves what we do in our work, in our play, how we eat, how we relate to other people. Many of you who are still in high school and the group that's come are going to have to be making decisions in the next 5 or 6 years relating to what it is you want in your life, what kind of job, what kind of education, where you want to live, what kind of a house. And I'm sure for most of you, you want a good life. And for many of you, you know, that involves making some money. I want you to think about some alternatives tonight as I talk about some other things. How many of you consider yourself coming from average middle-class families? What? Does anybody here consider themselves to be rich or wealthy? Does anybody consider themselves to be poor? Okay. If we are average, we're lucky. Because from a world perspective, we enjoy things that most people will never see. For example, the average American lives in a house with approximately 5 to 6 rooms with about 2 to 3 people in your family. You have running water, electricity, a refrigerator, a vacuum cleaner, probably even a coffee maker and a host of other appliances. You are probably a one-car family or maybe even 2 or 3. You have a family income of $11,000 if you're average. $1,900 of that goes on food, $740 on recreation, and as an adult, you'll probably spend $200 a year on alcohol and $120 in cigarettes. Yet, as part of the world population, we're only 6%. 6 out of every 100 people who live in this world are Americans. But of those 6%, we consume 1/3 of the world's energy. 44% of the world's raw material resources, copper, iron, steel, the things that we depend on for our radios, our stereos, our cars, things like that. We own 43% of the telephones and motor vehicles. If you're a woman, you can expect to live to the age of 74. If you're a man, expect to live to 67. There's one hospital bed for every 133 persons, one doctor for every 634. As consumers of food, we consume 3,500 calories of food a day. It only takes about 2,700 calories a day for the average person to sustain their bodies. That's about 1/3 more calories each day than we need. How many of you know about the third world? Do you know where the third world is, what that refers to? Which countries that includes? Primarily the third world oftentimes is referred to the developing countries, the countries with the poor people of the world, mostly the countries in Africa, Asia, South America. These are the countries that have about 70% of the world's population. If you were to live in one of those third world countries, chances are, for example, if you live in Pakistan, you would be only 10% of the people that could read. If you were a parent, 80% chance that your child would be malnourished. If you were a parent, you would have a 25% chance that your child would die at the age of 5. If you lived in Nigeria, chances are you would live in a one-room shack with no water or no electricity. Your life expectancy there would be 37 years. If you got sick, you would have to stand in line with 43,000 other people for a doctor. In Ghana, there are only 8.5 radios for every 100 people. In India, there are only 2.3 radios for every 100 people. How many radios do you think there are in the United States for every 100 people? You want to take a guess? 200? Well, you're being more generous. 169. That means that we could give away 69 radios and still have one per person for every 100 people in the United States. And about what we spend on alcohol every year, the average American, $200, is about what the average person in the third world makes in 1 year. All this is saying that if we lived in the third world as you live now, you would indeed be very wealthy. As a world citizen, we are very wealthy. And yet we don't realize that, because most of the people we live with, we spend time with, we work with, are just like you and me. We struggle to, you know, to make our ends and our means meet. We struggle to try to find ways to live on our income, and yet we enjoy more than most of the people will ever know. We are the number one country in the world. We consume more than any other country. Estimates have been made that if everybody was to live like we do, we could only sustain about 500 million people. Do you realize that's slightly more than twice our present population, and that by the year 2000 we'll probably have that many people in the United States alone? What does that mean about our present lifestyle? If not even the 4 billion people that live now can ever expect to live the kind of life that you and I know and have grown up in, it's not an easy question. And yet as average Americans, we take it for granted. Why then simple living? Why all this talk about simple living? As Elizabeth Seton says, live simply so that others may simply live. And I think it's a question of that. As 6% of the world, our fair share is 6% of the world's goods, yet we consume far more than that. But it certainly would be hard to limit our lifestyles to consume only that which we are entitled to. If you had a pie for dessert in your family, and if your bigger brother or sister got half of that pie each time you had dessert, how would that make you feel? If that other half had to go between you and three or four other brothers and sisters, how would it make you feel if you always had to receive a smaller amount than what another person got? You'd say, that's not fair. You'd say, I want my fair share. Well, I think that's what simple living is about. It's helping people in the world get a fair share of what's here. And I think the message to us as Americans is not an easy one. It's not the kind of message you want to hear, because we too want the good life. We want to enjoy what we have. But to consume less, to give up what we have, that's tough. What does the gospel have to say about living simply, about consuming less? In Luke, Jesus said, or it says, what then shall we do? And Jesus answered, he or she who has two coats, let them share it with them who has none. Are we willing to share? Sharing means giving up something. Something that we are using right now, not something that we don't need. It means learning to find ways to exist on less. Doesn't sound like much fun, does it? That's why some people in the simple living movement have coined the term creative simplicity, finding ways to live on less and still enjoy life. Nobody wants to live in poverty. Nobody wants to simplify their life so that they're not going to enjoy it anymore. I think we need to use our God-given abilities to find creative ways to share, to find new ways, new patterns of making sure that it goes around for everybody, and not just thinking about our families, not just thinking about the United States, but becoming a world citizen, so that each time you're eating, people in the rest of the world are having enough to eat. When you go to bed, people can have shelter to sleep in. If you get an education, that same right should be entitled to other people. A young merchant asked Jesus a question. I'd like to read that to you. A man of a ruling class put this question to him, good master, what must I do to win eternal life? Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false evidence. Honor your father and mother. The man answered, I have kept all these since I was a boy. On hearing this, Jesus said, there is still one thing lacking. Sell everything you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven. And come, follow me. At these words, his heart sank, for he was a very rich man. When Jesus saw it, he said, how hard it is for the wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Not a very redeeming message, is it, in light of the fact that we are the rich of the world, even though we don't think that, we still are, doesn't leave us with too much. And yet, I don't want you to feel guilty. I don't want to put blame on us. You know, we were given a country full of resources, and I think we need to find ways to share them. A first step is to examine some of the values of simple living, some of the illusions that prevent us from living simply. We are a product of our environment. We are influenced by what goes on in mass media, in our schools, in our churches. I think we need to be aware of that and how that makes us think and act. To live simply, I think you need to take a stand, need to know what you're working for. One common illusion that we live by, if I can afford it, I need it. Just because we have money doesn't mean that we really need something. I think too often we confuse what we need with what we want. You know, if we only have two pairs of shoes and a new style comes out, we're convincing ourselves that we need a new pair of shoes. If we have the money, why not buy it? After all, I can afford it. But do you really need that third pair of shoes? It's something to think about. There is no one way. There is no method for living simply. One does never attain that. Just because I decide not to buy that pair of shoes doesn't mean that I have attained a simple lifestyle. It's a process. It's something you work on, something you think about. Would you be happy if you had everything you wanted? Do you ever ask yourself, why do you want those things? I'd like to suggest that we become less consumers of excess and more consumers of basic necessities. To be satisfied with the fact that we are clothed and fed and that we have friends, and to find ways that we can enjoy life and celebrate life without having to consume more. Find ways of enjoyment that don't cost money. Keep up with the Joneses is another thing that we hear a lot about. After all, they just bought a new car. Shouldn't we get a new car? They have a color TV. Ours is just a black and white TV. These illusions are really hard to live by. When is enough going to be enough? We need to say enough, not more. We need to realize that even if we do have that new car, we're not going to be necessarily happier. Are rich people really satisfied? Have you ever seen a movie in which you find a happy, content, rich person? Most movies I've seen show a rich person that is either going through problems or worrying about their resources or trying to make more money. I don't see much contentment in that, and ask myself why. Everything has to be convenient. Why have we made life so convenient? At the expense of the ecology. We live in a throwaway society. Is it necessary each time we want to have something to drink that we throw away the container in which it comes in? What does that say about our respect for nature? Maybe there's another way. Bigger is better. Better for who? Do we really need that bigger car, that bigger TV? Does it serve its function? If it's a name brand, it's got to be good. If it's not a name brand, it's no good. When was the last time you ever made the clothes that you wore? When was the last time you made something as a gift and gave it to somebody else? We don't always have to buy things to live. We can use our own talents and abilities to make things. Giving does not have to mean going to the store and buying something. It can mean making something from pottery, something from handicraft, baking something, writing a poem. Old is bad. Why is it that we always have to have new things? Why is it that every year when school starts, new fashions come out and we have to buy new clothes? What's wrong with the old ones? What do we do with the old clothes? Do we give them away? Do we make use of them? One thing I found out is that the more I have, the more I own. When I get a bike, a stereo, a camera, a bunch of records, a whole lot of things, I begin to worry more about them. I become more protective of them. I don't want to share them because, after all, if I lend out that record, it might get scratched. If I let someone use my stereo, they might bump the needle. I have to spend more time working just to make enough money to pay for that which I have. You know, if we're spending all our time just working to pay for what we own as material goods, are we really enjoying that life? One of the advantages of simplifying your life so is that you have less to worry about. If you didn't own anything, you wouldn't have anything to lose. The more you own, the more you have to lose. That's what makes simple living so difficult. Because it's not easy to give up something that we have, especially when we're used to it, especially when it's a part of our lifestyle. I'd like to raise a bunch of questions to have you think about, and maybe tonight in your family groups, you could ask them amongst yourselves. Take a look at your personal possessions. Analyze and estimate the total cost of your room and furnishings, your radios, your stereos, your records, the books you have, the tapes you have, the jewelry, the cosmetics. Ask yourself if you need those things, if you always have to go out and buy the latest new thing. Ask yourself why. Ask yourself, does it make you happier that you have it? Ask yourself, what is my criteria for sharing? When am I willing to give something away? Something that I really want, but I'd like to give to somebody else because I want to. What about clothes? Do I need to buy the new styles each time they come out every season? What does that say about my identity? What does it say about who I am? Do clothes really change me as a person? Where do I shop for stores, for clothes? At the name brand stores? Do I ever make my own clothes? Do I ever buy them secondhand? What about hand-me-downs? Am I willing to wear something that somebody has worn before? I know it's not easy, but when you think about being a world citizen and you think about how many people in the world don't even have a decent pair of clothing to wear, for me it makes it a little more difficult to ask myself if I really need that. What about recreation? To have fun, do you have to spend money? Does it mean spending $3 for a movie? Are there ways that you can enjoy having fun with your friends that don't require money? What kind of recreation do you enjoy? Does it consume a lot of gas? Do you like to go water skiing? Do you like to go driving around in your car? Or do you like to go hiking or walking? Do you like to play tennis? Things that don't consume so much. You know, we live on a planet Earth that's like a spaceship. It only has so much. And the more we use of it, and the less we put back, the less it's going to be there for future people to enjoy, and the harder it is going to be to share. I think that's a message of simple living, is that if we don't start sharing now, sometime in the future, there's not going to be enough to go around. Then who's going to decide who's going to get what? What's going to happen when we run out of oil? And yet we need that gasoline for our cars. What's going to happen when the raw material resources, which are not readily replaceable, are exhausted or so expensive that it makes it impossible even to buy a stereo anymore? It makes it impossible even to own a home. I don't know. But I certainly wouldn't want to be around to find out what's going to happen, because it doesn't seem like a very promising future. The message of simple living is sharing. Unless we start sharing now and making sure there's enough for everybody, it's going to be very difficult to share later. The message of simple living is trying to find ways to respect nature, trying to find a lifestyle that doesn't pollute, trying to find a lifestyle that uses materials that can be replaced. The message of simple living is trying to find a creative way to relate to your fellow people, trying to find a joyful way, trying to spend time with your friends so that you don't have to depend upon a movie, amusement park, things that cost money to be together. Just being together can be enough. just going on a hike. I mean, here at Holden Village, going up to a mountain doesn't have to cost money. And yet I'd wager that that's a better activity than seeing a movie. You'd probably get a lot more out of it. At least I would. Talking about values, talking about what it is that you're going to decide in your future, takes time. You're going to be, in the next 5 and 10 years, you're going to be moving out of your parents' home. You're going to have to make decisions for yourself. You're going to have to decide where you're going to live, what you're going to work, what kind of work you're going to do, where you're going to school. Was it going to cost money to do that? The values I think you decide to live by will influence, I think, the kind of lifestyle you want to lead. If you're concerned about the ecology, I think you'll be concerned about buying pop in a can that you throw away that you don't recycle. If you're concerned about world hunger, if you're concerned about people in the rest of the world, you'll think twice about eating something that you don't need when you're already filled. Simple living is difficult by yourself. I think it requires that we find ways to live together, to share together. I think in sharing, life becomes a lot more easier. When you're with people on a camping trip, and you might not have any toothpaste, and somebody else has toothpaste, that's a small sign of sharing. That really means something. When you always have what you need, how can you share? If everybody has their own toothpaste, where could the joy of sharing be in that little small action? If everybody has their own car, how could you ever share giving a friend a ride? Does everybody need their own car? An important part of values, I think, is deciding where you're going to stand. What's important for you? Nothing that I say here tonight will make sense unless you decide it makes sense. The Shakertown Pledge is something that's made a sense to a group of retreat center leaders in 1973 who met together, who were concerned about the current state of the world, who were concerned about the poor in the third world, concerned about world hunger, concerned about increasing pollution, and wanted to do something about it. They formulated this pledge. I want to go through it, read it, and make a few points on it. Have you think about it, and maybe in your family groups, in a smaller group setting, you can talk about what it means for you. Ask yourself, am I willing to commit myself to a pledge like this? If you're not, ask yourself why. And think about what values are an important part of that. Recognizing that the earth and the fullness thereof is a gift from our gracious God, and that we are called to cherish, nurture, and provide loving stewardship for the earth's resources, and recognizing that life itself is a gift and a call to responsibility, joy, and celebration, I make the following declaration. I declare myself to be a world citizen. That means thinking about the needs of every single person, not just your family, not just those in the United States. It means adjusting one's lifestyle so that you can live a lifestyle such that everybody in the world can live that same lifestyle. It doesn't mean being 6% of the world and consuming about 40% of the resources. It means only taking your fair share and finding ways that that's possible. It means a vision for the future, to work towards a society in which that's possible, towards a society in which there are no poor in our own country, towards a society in which everyone's basic needs are met. 2, I commit myself to lead an ecologically sound life. Is it possible to use the Earth's resources sparingly, to keep pollution to a minimum? No one enjoys pollution. Is it really necessary? Can we find ways to recycle and replenish that which we're using so that people in the future, our children and children's children, can also have a life to live, can also have enough to go around? Can we practice conservation, a respect for nature? Can we be stewards of the earth? 3, I commit myself to lead a life of creative simplicity and to share personal wealth with the world's poor. Are we willing to ask ourselves, what are my basic needs beyond which I really don't need anything more? Ask yourself, once I have one car, that's enough. I don't need two cars. Ask yourself, is two pairs of shoes enough? Do I need a third pair? Ask yourself, do I need a new stereo? Is the present one adequate? Question how you spend your money. Think about other ways that that could be spent. Think about your excess, things that you don't need, and maybe how you could give it away to help other people. Think about spending less money so that maybe some of that money can be given to someone who doesn't have that, to help them have a decent life. 4, I commit myself to join with others in reshaping institutions in order to bring about a more just global society in which each person has full access to needed resources for his, her physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual growth. It's been said that we, the wealthy nations of the world, we, the United States, are overdeveloped. We have too much. We need to de-develop so that other nations can have more. We need to reduce our consumption. We need to become accountable for what we consume so that, again, we consume our fair share. 5, I need to commit myself to occupational accountability, and in so doing, I will seek to avoid the creation of products which cause harm to others. Think about the kind of work you want to do in the future. Is it the kind of work that will promote a better society tomorrow? Is it the kind of work that leads to the creation of products that promote the environment, that are really necessary? Is it the kind of work that maybe produces elements of destruction that really don't promote a better life? Is there a kind of work that you could do, that you would enjoy doing, that would help make a better world? I commit myself to examine continually my relationships to others and to attempt to relate honestly, morally, and lovingly to those around me. Honesty is an important part of living simply, because it means that you only use what you need and that you're honest about that. It means that you reach out to a helping hand to your brother or sister who's in help. It means that you share. It means that you follow the gospel message. That can't be done unless you're honest with yourself. 8, I commit myself to personal renewal through prayer, meditation, and study. John Schramm talked about contemplation, talked about seeing with new eyes, talk about disillusionment. I think we need to take time out for renewal each day. Take time away from the busyness, from the hecticness, to try to find ways to think about what it is we're doing, to center in on what's important in life. That's what worship is about. It's a time away from busyness, from hecticness, to really think about yourself, life, what's important, to be reminded. What would happen if daily you were reminded of what was important in life, if you took time for quiet, for solitude, to think about what it is you're doing? What would that do to the kind of life that you live?